Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, another podcast shot. I don't believe it. You, not you as well. Yes, me. Why not me? Everybody else and his hairdresser or her bin man's got a podcast, and why shouldn't they? Then again, why shouldn't I? Okay? I'm getting on the gravy train along with everybody else, including your cousin who does that one about gaming. Right? I don't care what you think. You might also notice that I've started to try and self-censor myself because I've got a feeling that this could go big. And if it goes big, it could go really big if we keep the swearing out of it, if we keep it like a sort of 12 level as opposed to an 18 level. You know, it won't get any warning slapped on it. Even children could listen to it, thereby swelling the numbers and my financial coffers. A bit like that's what Brian and Roger did when they were making the Queen film, innit? They could have made an 18, but they decided to make a 12 because they wanted to make some serious coin. So that's what I'm doing, right? I'm going to try and keep it clean so that I can make some serious wedge. Too right. So I've just let myself straight down there by saying fucking too right. And I'm not very good at editing myself, so just fuck it. There will be swearing in it, okay? All the podcast books and that say, whatever you do, be yourself. If you try to be somebody else, if you try to have a different voice than the one you've got, then you're going to fail. So anybody who knows me knows I'm effing and jeffing all the time. So this podcast will include swearing. That's your initial warning. No children, please.
Anyway, Sean, what's the idea, mate? Come on, get to it. This is an introductory podcast. You've not even told us what it's about yet.
All right. Well, you just said it. The idea is ideas.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. Have you any idea how many idea podcasts there are out there? 716 million.
This is different. Okay? It is essentially an exploration of creativity. But what more than that it is an opportunity for me to cathartically expunge some of the ideas that have been trapped under the crust of my creativity for many years. Okay? It's a little bit like an oil well drilling. Down, up spurts the idea that's been buried in the crust of the earth of my brain for many years. So it's an opportunity for me to get ideas out there that have never flown. And then the other idea is that we do the same with a guest every week. Okay? And that's arguably the even more interesting part because we know some pretty interesting people. But even they, you know, they've got lots of ideas. Most of them don't get made. So that's what this is an exploration of. And it could be anything, sublime to the ridiculous. It could be a shopping list. It could be an old love letter that you never sent. It could be a sitcom idea. It could be a lyric. It could be anything at all. And that's the pure pleasure of it. So that, in a nutshell, is the explanation for Sean Keaveney's creative cul-de-sac. Right. Incidentally, I record this part at home, which is... stupidly I've done it in my bedroom today, like literally next to a window onto the main street, so you might hear children gambling outside. I don't mean gambling, G-A-M-B-L-I-N-G, I mean G-A-M-B-O-L-L-I-N-G. Just before you start, just consider that like a little bit of sound design in the background, just to add a little bit, you know, sort of dimension. So what I'm going to do is, I literally have a mahogany trunk. It's actually a cardboard box from IKEA, full to the brim of old notebooks and pieces of paper and stuff like that. from going back over 20 years, about 25 years. I've also got all the stuff, like you probably have, ideas, abortive concepts, things like that, that I keep on my computer and on my iPhone. And that is what I'm going to tap into every single episode. The episode will start with my ideas, then we'll flip on to the guests' ideas. Hopefully they'll be more entertaining. And like I say, we go from the sublime to the ridiculous, the lachrymose to the grandiose, okay? Self-pitying to egotistical, that means. The trivial to the totemic. Last note that you made, I'll ask. The thing you're most secretly proud of that you want to get out there. All these things will be dealt with in this fantastic and enormously popular podcast, Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac. You're stalling, mate. You've not got any good ideas at all, have you? Sure. Listen, you'll hear that a lot. My inner voice is very negative, and it's quite destructive, and it's very critical. You might hear my voice change, and I start to become really quite defensive when the inner voice pipes up. So, but in answer to that, no, you're wrong. I do have lots of what I consider to be great ideas.
Go on, then.
All right. Just to get us started, right? I've written this down. This is a part of the podcast that I think we should revisit time and again. The Netflix Hub. Okay, so because I've got literally a page in my notes, which is simply entitled Netflix Ideas. And they're usually just like one or two liners that I eventually will take to big movie and TV producers and say, make this because it's a shit idea. Here's one, right? The title of the Netflix drama is Picture This. A Blondie song title. You could use that as the theme tune, whatevs. What's the idea? Here's the idea. You know, you get those on this day reminders on your phone, on your smartphone, and it comes up with a little film, doesn't it? It shows you loads of pictures from this day in 2016 or something like that. Oh, look at us. Oh, I forgot about that. We went to Surrey for the afternoon. It was very sunny and Arthur had an ice cream. That kind of thing, right? This Netflix drama's called Picture This. And what I've written here is, person gets pick reminders on phone.
Yeah.
The person in the picture dies that day. That's all I've written. That's all I've got. So, it needs a bit of work. But I think you'd agree it's quite close to being... I mean, I'm sitting on potentially $10 to $15 million there. And that's the whole point of this podcast, really. There'll be another category which should be entitled Dad Gags, okay? Or just straight up gags. One or two line jokes. Most of us write these down from time to time. We're struck by inspiration. I'll be littering this podcast with these. Here's one for you today. Okay, tell you what. That Captain Corelli really loved eating boiled eggs, didn't he? Huh? Huh? Do you get it? I'm not explaining it. Another thing that I'll come back to time and again is my old stand-up material. For those that don't know, I perform stand-up... what are you laughing at? I'm serious. I perform stand-up comedy between 2010 and 2017. The joke that I always employ is I stopped due to public demand in 2017 because I wasn't that good. But I've got quite a lot of stand-up material... most of which has either never been heard or has been heard by about 14 indifferent people downstairs in a pub in Dalston. So I'm going to perform you a tiny bit of stand-up here, and I'm hoping that producer Ben is going to try and do a bit of sound modelling around this to make it sound as though we're in a smoky club and that the audience are hanging on my every inflection. Mm-hmm. It's inspired, it seems, by a little Telegraph... article which from a few years ago, it said that oil traders were worried that the market may never see $100 a barrel oil prices again. They were essentially saying, due to all this electric car bullshit and renewable wind energy bullshit, us oil oligarchs could be losing some of our profits, and that's a bad thing. Okay, so that's the story, that's the context. This is the performance. So this is to a packed comedy tent at Latitude. Okay, everybody hanging on my every word. The way this is going, it looks increasingly to me, I don't know about you, like we might not even obliterate humanity in a self-created carbon-choked inferno of self-destruction. Right? We might not. We might avoid that. And worse still, our prophets could suffer. Okay? Trees and plants could flourish. Crops become more diverse. Bee populations could proliferate. Waterways could become purer. Coral reefs could regrow. Marine life flourish back to pre-industrial levels. Profits could stagnate. Shareholders' dividends retract slightly. We can't let this happen. We must act now. So as I say, it's, you know, I mean, there's a reason why a lot of this stuff remains on the hard drive. That said, I think some of it's quite strong.
Do you really, Sean?
Shut it. I'll give you a little bit more of my ancient stand-up, right? Do you remember when the South African president, Jacob Zuma, got caught out harvesting the country for hundreds of millions of dollars? You remember that a few years ago? Well, I was quite proud of this bit of stand-up. You know, Snowflake, fucking right on, aren't I? You know, is it like a sort of shit Ben Elton, if you can imagine that, with a slightly better suit? So, this is how my Jacob Zuma piece starts. The president with the greatest name in the world. Who's Zuma-ing who? I've put here. It's not very good. This guy makes our expenses rinsing public officials look, in comparison, like pick and mix pilferers in Woolworths. And then I put in brackets. If by the way, hands up, who did used to do that, Nick, pick and mix from Woolworths? A smattering of people put their hands up, and then I say, people like you are, in my view, scum. It's not that funny. But it would have worked, you know, in a crowd. You're responsible for the death of Woolworths. Anyway, back to Jacob Zuma. This is a man who claimed $23 million worth of public money for, and I quote, essential security upgrades in his mansion, which included, okay, a swimming pool and an amphitheatre. I said it again, an amphitheatre. This is supposed to be for essential security upgrades. I can't spell it, never mind, ask the Polish builders to knock one up. You know you're slightly losing your grip on reality if you're sitting with your wife one night, flicking through the swatches, looking at waterfall taps, you know, because you're having a bit of renovation, and you say to her, well, what do you think of that one? A bit wide, isn't it? You know. Well, hey, listen, what about an amphitheatre in the back garden? What do you think? Between the kids' slide and the man cave? You know you're losing your grip on reality a bit. I put myself out on a limb here and suggest if you're having an amphitheatre built in your backyard, you are beginning to lose touch with the common man you're representing, just a tiny amount. Then again, I suppose, to be fair, an amphitheatre could easily be used for security, if you think about it. For instance, if guerrilla forces stormed the compound, Jacob and his staff could easily hastily stage a small production of Midsummer Night's Dream, which would buy him enough time to escape. Enormous peals of laughter from the crowd. I've also written here the definition of karma, Jeremy Hunt in A&E. So you can see we're going back some time there. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we're talking about in Sean Keaveney's... What am I calling it? Sean Keaveney's creative cul-de-sac. It's basically that. It's just looking through people's notebooks full of shit and reading some of it out. It doesn't have to be any more or less complicated than that. It does mean that each week, until I run out, you are going to be subjected to some of my more outre or less popular work, if you can imagine such a thing. And unfortunately, my inner voice.
Finish it now, Sean. Nobody wants to hear anymore.
Fuck off.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So who is this episode's guest on my Idea Expo? A man who is a geezer. I don't mean a cockney, he's basically from Bishop Stortford. No, I mean a G-E-Y-S-E-R, a geezer of ideas, a Catherine Wheel of comic imagery, a radio legend at the tender age of 34. I have to check that age, that was off Wikipedia. Podcaster, sitcom minter, TV presenter, children's author. Let's riffle through the piffle with Greg James. What do you think about that, Greg?
Like that, and I feel quite honoured. I really do.
It is a privilege, isn't it? It's bestowed upon.
It is, and I hope all your guests are aware of what a privilege it is.
Well, you know, sometimes it takes me upwards of 10 minutes to write those things, and that's quite an investment in time when you're as busy as I am. Now, I want to say something off the bat here, which is I always think of us as kind of idea magpies, that, you know, we've got a butterfly net out and we're constantly on the lookout for things that we can fill this yawning gap of dead air that would be our show if we didn't throw some things in there. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I think probably like you, a lot of my favourite people growing up were comedians and funny people and comic actors and people that did voices and things like that. But I was too lazy, I think, to want to bother to tour around and do stuff like that, and also just loved radio too much not to want to sit and do it in a microphone. I think that was basically it, and it was the most accessible thing. So you could just do it in your bedroom and, you know, pretend to record into Windows 95 and things like that. And I just fell in love with all of that stuff. And also, if you run out of something to say, you just play a song. And also, I love music, so that all of that made more sense to do it on the radio than to try it on a stage.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because as my listeners to this venerable podcast will already know, because that's what the first part of it's all about, I have the mahogany trunk of ideas, the IKEA cardboard box of ideas, and it's just fucking full of, you know, disastrous sitcom ideas and this is a funny idea for a game show, etc. But like you say, it's very difficult to actually get those things made, whereas it can fill perhaps a link on the radio.
Yeah, I think that is right. But also there's another thing which is magical about radio, and that is, as you mentioned, the listeners who come back with the other half of the stuff. So you put out the bit and they go, oh, how about this? Or how about that? Or how about we take it this way? Or, oh, I've got an idea. Or that reminds me of this. So I've always been more excited at the idea that I say a thing and then it just gets split into a million pieces and then it can end up somewhere else. And you don't really get that when you've got a sort of tight 60 minutes and you're doing an Edinburgh show. I never really got that excited about doing that. I like watching them, but I was at the end of it, I'm a bit like, oh, I feel a bit sorry for you that you can't just do that again tomorrow and change it and get the listeners to call up and I can really find out about each person listening and find out their story. So that's why I've always been drawn to radio more than radio ideas, more than comedy ideas in that way.
Yeah. It's like we bring the leather they make the handbag.
I mean, you could put it like that.
So there you go. I'm writing that down as well. So here's an easy intro question, right? So here you can, this any idea stored anywhere. So it could be on the back of a beer mat. It could be in your iPhone. It could be on your laptop. It could just be scribbled on the bottom of your trainer. But what was the last idea that you made a note of, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, right. Well, the last idea. It's very niche. It was from the Tailenders podcast that we had. It was based on an idea of cricketers in the 90s used to have cars with their signatures on the side, sponsored by, like, Mitsubishi Chelmsford and things like
quite
that.
Quite Partridgian.
So this is the thing, and you'll appreciate this. I think the only two people, the only two professions in the world that have their names and signatures on a sponsor car really are radio presenters and county cricketers. And so that we talked about Mark Aylott, who was a really great bowler for Essex and England back in the 90s. And it turned out he was listening to the podcast. He listens to the podcast.
Oh, you're lovely.
And he got back in touch and we were talking about his sponsored Saab. So the last idea I had was we should go, when the restrictions lift, we are all going to go and do an episode of the podcast from a Saab.
Of course you are.
In Chelmsford. And it'll be, yeah. And he said something like, oh, I haven't anyone flocking around my car for a few years because he's retired. But he said the only time... I expect when I go and do the big shop that people would flock around my car. So we're going to go and do the podcast from a Tesco car park and get loads of fans of Mark Aylott to be there to recreate the 90s.
But there you go, you see. It's like Graham Torrington on 210 FM, The Quiet Storm, in his sort of in his Rover 216 Vitesse or something like that. There's nothing better than being a big fish in a little pond, and I can't wait to start my drive time radio show on Wish FM. In October, Wiggins' greatest music mix. But this is the thing, right? I mean, well, you mentioned it off mic, but like, it is a bit of a walk. This idea, this Sean Keaveney cul-de-sac concept, is a walk through your back pages of unborn, unrealised ideas. And you said to me that you'd sort of learned a little bit about yourself. You'd sort of been looking back at various stages of your career. Can I just beg of you an idea just from the top of the rank of something that you might like to offer to the podcast that hasn't yet made the light of day?
Yeah, well, I learned a few things, and just briefly, I learned that I've been consistently all over the place for a long time, in that the notepads were stashed in all different places, all of them unfinished, a lot of them start halfway through, and they don't really make any sense, and there's no dates on them. And I think it made me initially sad, because part of me wants to be like Michael Palin, who's got, you know, them catalogued, and all of them have individual ISBN numbers and stuff. And he has a ladder that he can just go, yes, February 1960. Let's have a look there. What was I doing? Part of me wants that, but I really am not able to do that. And I think looking back through the thing I learned about myself is that I've grown to work with that brain, whereas before I think I was quite scared of it. And a lot of the early stuff, the early years, I mean, I'm talking 2007, but the ones that I found, it was quite sad. Like, some of them, the ideas were fun and silly, but then they were just sort of like reminders to not get stressed, or like go for a run, or like make sure you're reading a book and not just looking at radio forums. I was like, fucking hell. I remember
right,
that.
That's quite telling, isn't it? So yeah. do you remember that?
I do.
That era of your existence?
That, and I felt really embarrassed for myself then, but I feel I feel proud of where I've got to now. But I think it was just, I didn't really have much of, and this is the only bad thing about starting Radio 1 when I was 21, is that I didn't really have anywhere to be shit for a few years.
Yeah.
And I had to just work it all out quite quickly. And that was great, because that I wouldn't really change it now, because it really served me well, because I had to just sort of sink or swim. And looking back at it, I was quite anxious, I think. I was quite stressed about it all. I was like, I love this, and I've always wanted to do this, but now it's happening. It's really stressful. And there's people saying, you're shit.
Don't fuck this up.
And like, I'm on before Moyles, and, you know, people are like, you fucking, what's this? And it's funny just looking back at it, but as I said, I wouldn't change any of it. And some of the ideas are really stupid. And I don't know where this... where's the first one? Let me find this one.
You know, some of the great radio features that... And I've actually... I've done Rage Against the Answer... I've done Unpopular Opinions with you. Rage Against the Answering Machine. Have you... surely you must have a notebook somewhere that's full of failed feature ideas.
There's one in front of me that's just called Uptown Monk, which I can't remember.
What was that gonna
I guess be? It was the time Uptown Funk was riding high in the charts, clearly.
Uptown Monk.
Another one.
There's something there, isn't there? We just don't know what.
Uptown Monk is good, and someone can have that. Yeah. One of the things that I was trying to get off the ground for ages, and it appears in about three different notebooks, is just the words panic room. And I wanted to do a panic room for such a long time, and I couldn't work out what it was. And we tried a couple of ideas, which was just locking someone in a studio and then recording it and seeing what they did, and then editing the highlights together to 3 minutes or whatever. But I couldn't work out why? What's the point? And then that eventually has evolved into the breakfast show idea of the escape room when I was locked in a room and I had to work out the code with the help of the listeners and there were loads of clues. So it's like a classic escape room, I guess. But so that was years in the making. So that was interesting for me to look back on that. And also Rent-A-Greg, which was a really terrible title.
What the fuck is that?
Rent-A-Greg was just getting me to do whatever you needed to do. So if there was a dropout of like a stag do, or you needed someone to help you move house or whatever, then I would be the Rent-A-Greg. And then,
but that's great. Actually,
which we did do that actually. I moved house for somebody a couple of years ago. I think it might have been on first year of breakfast, maybe, and Susanna Reid came and joined us for some reason. But yeah, we managed to do that. It was all basically I was circling around it for ages, but it was all always about how can we be totally embedded and not in bed with, embedded with the listeners somehow.
Yeah.
And Up Friday was a thing that I noticed quite early on in some of my early books, which then ended up being a thing where the listeners would come in on a Friday, and which I nicked from Russ and Jono. Do you remember them on Virgin?
Yeah, Russ and Jono.
They used to get an audience in on a Friday, and I thought, I'll have that one day. That's good.
That's nice.
So
I think that you, though, have really cornered the market on that. I don't know. There are a few people on the radio at the moment, I think, who have got you've got all the aces up the sleeve. You're avuncular. You're very approachable. But you're really fucking funny, and you're inventive. Sorry, I just widen it a bit. I'm going to blow some serious smoke up there.
I'm listening. I'm ready. Right, yes.
But I honestly think that the best thing that you do, and even a broadcaster with the chops that I've got struggles to do this, is sound like everybody that you talk to on the show is actually at least an acquaintance and probably a mate.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't fake that shit.
Yeah.
So was that always you? Like, even when you were a kid, were you always like that kind of slightly overconfident kid who talked to the adults?
I wasn't. No, I was very, very horribly awkward and shy. But, and then I think university, I really just fell in love with student radio in a massive way, and doing bits on a stage with my mates who then went on to be stand-ups and stuff. And I really liked sort of hosting stuff more than being a comic personality. I suddenly just felt comfortable on stage just doing stuff and sort of interacting with an audience. And I think maybe about 18, 19, I did become more confident at that sort of stuff. And it didn't worry me in a way that it used to when I was like a timid teenager. But no, I was never the precocious child being like, would anyone care for some more strawberries? I'm about to make a trip to the kitchen. Like none of that.
That's it.
I wasn't that kid at all. I was very much, I'm just going to play with this tennis ball in the corner while mum and dad's friends talk to each other. But I think radio really brought that out of me. And the early breakfast show brought that out of me a lot, because I was just facing the listeners the whole time. And it was Neil Sloan, the producer I mentioned earlier, that just said, right, well, let's just do a show for the listeners. And actually it was him who went, if you look around at Radio 1, there's nobody really just doing it on their own. There's like duos, and there's the Moyles team, which was, you know, the zoo. and there was the Mills team, which had Laura Sayers, and it was all sort of, you know, gang stuff, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
But there was nobody just sort of doing the me with the list type thing. And immediately he just went, well, let's do something on Friday. Let's do like a phone in. So we did Free For All Friday, where we would take calls live to air for half an hour from 4 till 4:30. And it was the most fun thing we ever did, until someone called up and just went, can't. And that was it. And that was the end of it. That was literally the end of the feature. The exec called up after the show and went, hi, dude, you're never doing that again. And oh, for fuck's sake. But it was brilliant. And
on air, he said
that. He didn't
that.
Say your cunt. He just went, cunt. And I thought it was funny.
I mean, I love the pitching. The pitching of it's beautiful as well, isn't it? It's almost musical. Cunt. So let's. So we do radio. I mean, the other thing is we could talk about this all day, of course. But you know, like why we love audio non sequiturs so much, like Nemi and the Gonads, for instance. But we could come back to that because I, whilst I'm flinging that door open, I'm also thinking about you diversifying into the world of sitcom because I misremembered. I thought you'd done like a whole series.
No, it was a one-off. About this. Yeah,
it was a one-off, wasn't it? It was a comedy. Mm-hmm. It was a BBC Three thing called Dead Air. Yeah. But there you were, I mean, in 2015, as a young man, acting and like writing comedy stuff. Have you got any ideas like that that have just, again,
well,
not really gone anywhere?
Really of its time for me as well, because I was still working out what the hell I was doing. But I just had this sort of, and looking back at it now, it was just a weird sort of phobia and also bitterness about maybe not getting the breakfast show or also maybe not wanting it and that sort of dichotomy. But it came out in a comedy, which was good in places. But I watch it now and I'm like, it's not. It could have been a lot better. It would have been a lot better if I was in it. And if it wasn't maybe about radio, it was a bit on the nose. It was a little bit like the breakfast show host dies, and then it was like a toss up between two people, and it was just a bit like, but it was fun, and I really enjoyed the whole process, and it was, I mean, amazingly exciting to get to do that, and I did do a drama degree, so I could sort of do it, but I needed a lot. It wasn't quite there. But there is another idea, actually, which I haven't told anyone about, apart from the person I'm working with, and it's the amazing Dotty. So Dotty, as in Dotty used to do the One Extra Breakfast Show.
Yeah.
He's now at Beats. We did the TV show together. We did the BBC music show a few years ago together, and we got to know each other on that. And she's the most brilliant host and character and personality, and she wrote a book last year called Outraged, and it's all about her life as a young black lesbian woman in the industry and in London and in media, and trying to work out what am I supposed to be outraged about today. And
yeah,
I read it because she gave me an advanced copy maybe a year ago at the start of the lockdown, really. And I read it, and I said to her, I called her immediately and went, we can make, this needs to be made into, you're like Larry David. There's a Larry David style Curb Your Enthusiasm comedy to be made out of all these scenarios. And the initial thing I thought of was, there'll be days when you're a terrible black person. There'll be days when you're a terrible woman. And there'll be days when you're a terrible lesbian. And it's like, what? She feels so conflicted every single day, and she says things like, everyone asks me to stand for everything, and all I want to do is just sit down.
I love that phrase.
And I was like, that's the thing. So we're making that hopefully into a comedy, which she's going to star in.
Oh wow.
And I'm just going to be,
so she's actually going to, she's going to be like, she's going to act, she's going to sort of play herself, think, like a hyper real version of herself.
Yeah, and I think she can really do it, because I've just got a hunch, because she was a rapper and a quite successful artist who was spotted on stage. I think she was spotted at a Mary J. Blige gig by Mary J. And she brought up on stage by her. And then she got a record deal off the back of that. So she became an artist for a while. And then she was doing a session. Her story is fascinating. Get her on this. She's much more interesting than me.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
She was doing a session with
Book
Dotty. Cancel the line with Greg. She did a session with Trevor Nelson. And Trevor just said, you're too funny to just be an artist. You should come and do a co-host with me. And she did a co-host with him over the summer. And then that following year, One Extra went, do you want to do the breakfast show? And she just went, I'm an artist now. I'm a presenter now. one breakfast show 2 years ago, then went, I'm off to Beats for loads of money. Apple poached her. She wrote a book. She just is prolific and brilliant. And I just thought, well, you can definitely be a comic actor then, because you know what to do and you know how to interact with people. So I'm really excited about that. And it's good for me. I think it's progress, looking back at all my ideas and mad ramblings of like, you must do this and try and get a job here and all the rest of all that. It's removing myself from the center of it, just being like, this is really good and I know how to help write this with you, and I think I can really make it funny with you.
Well, I mean, no wonder she needs to sit down doing all that in such a short space of time. But these are too good, these ideas. I want you to give me an idea that's, I don't want to say, this podcast isn't all about shite ideas.
Oh,
but
got
it could
loads.
Be.
Yeah,
make us feel a bit better about ourselves by giving us an idea from the back pages that's not perhaps something that's going to make you hundreds of millions of pounds.
Do a show from a ferry. Meals on Wheels, which was just getting my friend Neil, who was my producer, to learn how to drive.
Meals on Wheels. This is what it's all about. This is the pure, hostelling with Chris Eubank, isn't it?
Yeah. How about... why don't people pose in the estate agent photos?
You mean like if you have photographs of your house, why aren't people in them?
Yeah, to look. I
That's
thought
actually
nice
quite
to
a
look
good
and
idea.
See how people use the space.
Yeah. And also for a sense of perspective.
Mm.
But then that's probably, Greg, I think we've worked out why they don't do it. Because, of course, I've looked at my kitchen on the estate agent's website and thought, fucking hell, that looks like Rio Ferdinand's kitchen. When in fact it's like 6 feet across. So maybe that's why they don't do it.
Do a one-day DJ competition in Ibiza. What's the most ridiculous thing I can do? And it says underneath, could I pilot the plane there?
You've gone full Noel Edmonds there, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've gone absolutely Noel Edmonds.
There is a horrible bit of me that is a bit Noel Edmonds. And I'm reading, I think it's gone mostly now. It remains maybe in the hair. But I think looking back at my books, it's mostly gone, I think.
Yeah. what you might describe it as is, I'm 5% silk bomber jacket with my name on the back of it.
I think so. I've just got there's a page here that's just called Everything is Shit. And I think that was when I was going through a sad time, clearly, sort of the troubles. And underneath it just says, is this a documentary?
Oh, that I love. That I love, because there's little self-awareness at that point, is there? It's like you've come away a little bit there from reality. I mean, what era would we talk? Let's slide some slightly maudlin music underneath this what time was that when you felt you were struggling?
As I said, no dates in here, but I think this could really be any time from 2010 to about 2016. So I'm going to say probably about 2011, 2012, because I didn't particularly enjoy my 20s very much at all. In fact, I didn't enjoy them. I was very uncertain of myself and what the hell I was doing. But despite having to sort of go on air and act like I was fine, but like you're a mess in your 20s, aren't you? Just like awful.
Do you feel like that was, is this a reductive thing to say that were you chasing that big breakfast show gig, and of course when Moylesy, you always got to put a Y on the end of it, left, and then Grimmy got it, was there a bit of flotsam and jetsam in your mind that thought it should have been me? And
I guess there was, but I didn't,
not in a nasty way, but in a sort of natural way.
I didn't really believe it, but you're put into a schedule where there's a clear sort of hierarchy or a supposed career plan where you go early breakfast, might go and do weekends, or if you're lucky you go and do afternoons. Then afternoons you can go drive time, and you go, oh, now what? Now what am I doing now? It's got to be breakfast, or like, am I going to host Nevermind the Buzzcocks? And actually, at that point, I didn't really want to do any of that, but I felt like I did, and I felt like I should. And I'm just a lot happier now, just going, well, if it happens, it happens, and I'm just going to enjoy it if I get there, and just make sure I'm enjoying all the shows and enjoying all the bits, because really there's no structure, there's no sort of, doesn't matter, you know,
there's no destination.
Be probably just doing drive and doing something else, I don't know, it's hard to say.
The destination, not it's the ride, not the destination.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, of course, you know, it's probably something I've written down in my iPhone notes when I was arsed in 2013. Yeah.
On that page of Everything Is Shit, it says, is this a documentary? An exploration of modern shite. And then it says, things like social media, fast food, travel, politics. What the fuck was I thinking about? What? That is not an okay brain, is it?
But then that gentleman, I'm pretty sure I've met him, his name currently escapes me, but there's a guy who wrote a book called Get in the Sea,
right,
which is a similar concept, isn't it? Which is just like Rolodexing through all the myriad of ways that modern life makes you just want to fucking hurl yourself off the top of a building.
Yeah, that's true.
So you think you're onto something there on the zeitgeist.
But I think we're probably better at processing it now and channeling it into something else. So all the shit that you watch throughout the day, the terrible things you read and the awful people spouting, you go, all right, well, I'm not going to get angry at that. I'm just going to absorb that and just do the complete opposite and come out with the stupidest thing to distract myself, but also everyone else. So that's probably, I'm better at not letting everything weigh too heavy. And it looks like from looking at my, what it turns out to be journals, essentially, looking at my sad, pathetic, self-absorbed journals, is that I'm better at just going, that's pretty unimportant, just do something fun and have a nice time with your wife, basically. I think that's why I'm thankful for being older now.
Yeah. So before we let you go, have you got any other sort of ideas that you want to air? Because perhaps you think, I'm surprised that this didn't do better. We have this kind of slightly aggrandized idea about this podcast that it could become like a repository of great ideas, like a trademark center where people get like an IP protection racket, you know, where we say that this is where you heard it first, you can't do it because Sean had his idea about a scaffolding sitcom, and it's here, you can hear it on this podcast, you know. So if you've got any other things that you want to disclose before the close of this,
yeah, let me just I'll rattle off
cul-de-sac
a few.
Episode.
Yeah, please, young do. Farts.
Okay, like grumpy old men.
Yeah, we could say that.
But with a younger demographic. See that?
It just says bakery on a plane. I don't know what that means.
A bakery on a plane.
I don't know what that means. I'm not.
You're flying it, Noel Edmonds style.
I think so.
Hollywood and Berry are in the back. Baking cakes. Okay, we're getting somewhere.
I quite like this, which I feel like could be a thing. 100 objects you're ashamed to own.
Oh,
don't know why that was.
You've seen it,
but you could might be good.
Isn't that influenced by History of the World in 100 Objects on Radio 4? You must have heard that at some point.
Must have been. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's interesting. 100 objects that you're ashamed to own. So are we talking about everything from sex toys to single-use plastics?
Yes. Yeah, to your V8 Range Rover.
Well, I've seen him drive past me in an electric car, so I know that's a joke.
That's right. Tiny celebrity quiz. I think we did that, and we just me doing impressions of celebrities through a voice changer. I think that we did that. Take that off. That's done. Only did that once.
It reminds me of one of my great features that nobody ever really heard because it was on overnights on XFM. Have I Got Poos for You? When I used to do an impression of a famous celebrity defecating, and that ran for about 3 years. So maybe
good.
I'll bring it back.
It's good. When
Thank you.
There was a notebook that I was desperate to find, which had something in it that is, I think, the first thing I remember writing down and thinking it was the funniest thing ever. And I wrote it down in a big book because I'd seen a documentary about Bob Monkhouse, and he used to have catalogued joke books, didn't he? And he used to have them all color-coded. Yeah. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to be like Bob Monkhouse. And I bought a book, and we were on holiday, and we went to America when I was a teenager, and I wrote in it I went to, there was a studio tour of, I think it was NBC or something. And in the NBC store, they had all the big shows. So they had like stuff from Friends and they had stuff from Scrubs at the time. It was big at the time. Yeah. And they had all of their Good Morning America stars in sort of mugs and t-shirts and cushions and loads of merch, but with the faces of, and my joke was going to be along the lines of, you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get an Eamon, no one's going to buy an Eamon Holmes cushion type thing.
There you go.
And I remember that vividly, thinking that was the funniest thing that anyone's ever come up with. And that's, I was desperate to find that thing. But that's my idea that we should try and make happen, is we should get the merch of Dan Walker and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's our equivalent. And that's no shade on Dan Walker, and that's no shade on, you know, Susanna Reid, but you ain't buying a Susanna Reid umbrella. Or maybe there's some perverts that would.
Oh, there are definitely some perverts that would, and you're talking to one right now, without question. Put me down for one. Greg James, Radio 1 legend, children's author, soon to be TV mogul, and extraordinarily good mate of mine. And it's just wonderful to Rolodex through some of your ideas, to riffle through your piffle today. But for now, honestly, thank you so much for being in Sean Keaveney's cul-de-sac with me, Greg James.
I've loved it. Thank you. And it was a really lovely exercise. And I feel thoroughly embarrassed, but happy that I'm not that person anymore.
So there we have it. That's one that definitely, we don't know exactly what sequence these Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac podcasts are going out, but this is definitely one of the first, say one of the top three, first three with Greg James. And this is the tail end. We were just talking about tail enders. That's why I mentioned that, of this podcast. Just a little audio side note, you might almost imperceptibly hear in the background a sort of a constant high-pitched grinding noise. That's not my molars. That's actually the unfortunate effect of having a fucking neighbour who has decided to build an extension just as I'm about to start creating a podcast. So what I strongly suggest you do is just tune that out. I might even bring in a little interlude music underneath this. Ben? Producer Ben, could you just mix in... That's it. Just so it goes sort of over the top so people don't really notice that angle grinder noise in the background. Here, by the way, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the podcast in future, I'm hoping to populate with your the listener, missives, emails, suggestions, etc. But also key to this will be your own lost ideas. You know, this could be a repository and a receptacle for listener lost ideas, and who knows what could happen to those. If you suggest that, it gets read out on the podcast, some famous producer listens to it, they might create it, and we might all make tens of millions of pounds. Essentially, this is just a launch pad for creative greatness, and it's not just mine. That's the important thing. I thought, in the absence of that this week, I could give you a couple of bits, extra bits of my own creativity. I've written down here in my iPhone notes, airplane mode. Whenever you put your phone on airplane mode, I think this is a TV comedy sketch. So I think the idea was that somebody's sitting on an airplane or they're about to start a meeting and they flick their phone into airplane mode and then all chaos ensues, very much like the Leslie Nielsen film. So it will work better actually if the sketch is somebody's sitting on an aeroplane, it's a Ryanair flight to Belfast or something like that. Do they even fly to Belfast? Can we check that? And the person just flicks their phone onto airplane and then the whole aeroplane just, as I say, falls into Leslie Nielsen style chaos. A woman's boobs flash across the screen like they do in the film. A drink gets poured on somebody. A nun starts playing a guitar, etc. I thought that had been a really good sketch. I've written down here, podcast idea, Round the World with Sean. That's all I've got. Obviously, that was a time in my life where I particularly needed a holiday. And I've also written this. I genuinely think this is a good idea. I might have mentioned this on my radio show once, though. Again, this must have been something that occurred to me after I've been to the gym. That's a subscription I've now cancelled because I can't afford it. True story. Swimming cap with parking sensors, especially for backstroke. So again, brilliant idea. Somebody's going to end up making it. I hope that I get some IP on that. My name is Sean Keaveney. This is Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac. Join me next week in Sean Keaveney's Creative Cul-de-Sac.
You fucking shut up with that angle grinder now, mate.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.